Welcome to the December 18th edition of the First EPC Sermon Podcast. Today is the fourth Sunday in the season of Advent, and interim pastor Jerry Brundle continues his current series. We're in Luke chapter 1, verses 67 through 79, and the sermon title is A Savior or a Savior? Here's Pastor Jerry.
Well, here we are at the fourth Sunday of Advent, and we continue to look in God's Word at how He continued to prepare the way for the coming of His Son. Recall that last week we looked at Gabriel's announcement to Mary that she would be having a child, indeed a son. And recall the words that Gabriel said to her. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. And to encourage Mary that the words that he was telling her were true and reliable and trustworthy, he told her that her relative Elizabeth, who was a very old woman by this time, well beyond the age of childbirth, had already conceived and was 6 months along in her pregnancy. When this same angel had come to Zechariah, Elizabeth's husband, some many months earlier, he prophesied about who this son would be, who this child would be that Elizabeth would give birth to. And he said these things, that he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, and turn the heart to the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared. You see, Gabriel made much the same prophecy that the prophet Micah had made almost 500 years earlier, when Micah said these words also about John, Elizabeth's son-to-be, John the Baptist, not mentioning him by name, but saying these words, "Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple." Micah prophesied the coming of a messenger who would lead the way for God himself. And of course, we know now that that God himself would be in the person of his son, Jesus. In our text for today, that 500 years since Micah had prophesied have already passed by, and now it's all taking place, even as Micah had predicted. The messenger is about to be born and will go before the Son of God, who is not yet on the way, but is soon on the way. Well, 3 months later, Elizabeth's child was born, a son. They named him John. And Zechariah, his father, was so filled with joy. Imagine being a man who, and Elizabeth, his wife as well, a man and a woman who had lived to very old age, never having had a son, so important in the culture of that day. And now, when they're both way beyond the age of giving birth to a child, they have received a son from God, and their joy is unspeakable. And so Zechariah is pretty pumped up, and he sang a prophecy. He sang a song of prophecy about his son, and the one for whom his son would make a way. And he begins in verse 68 of our text for today. And he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people." Now, here's Zechariah speaking in the past tense. Well, John has just been born. Jesus hasn't been born yet, and yet he's speaking in the past tense that he has redeemed his people as if the Lord had already come. But of course, the Lord had not yet already come. John was not the Lord. Zechariah knew that. He had seen the miracle birth. He had heard the prophecies that his son would lead the way. And he saw it happen. So he had no doubt that the Messiah, the Son of God, was already on his way, soon to be born. He had no doubt the second part of the prophecy was true, that his son John would lead the way for God himself to minister to his people. Since John came, Zechariah presumed correctly that the Lord would come too. And he was so certain that in the Hebrew custom of the day, he said things that he knew would come to pass in the past tense. Now, what did Zechariah mean that the Lord had redeemed his people? Well, we read in verse 71 what Zechariah meant by that. He said in his song that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. And why would God do that? He goes on, to show the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we being delivered from the hands of our enemies. That's how Zechariah saw the prophecy of the song that came from his own lips. You see, Zechariah was a typical priest of the day. Every other priest who lived in Jerusalem, who served at the temple, could have given the same prophecy. Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit, yet the prophecy he gave was not particularly unique. Any of the priests could have said the same thing. After all, God had made promises way back, beginning in Genesis 22, about him restoring the cities of their enemies to them and their being returned to power after their own destruction. Of course, as they were living in that day in Jerusalem or in Nazareth or wherever, it had not yet really happened. In fact, the reverse had taken place. They had lost all of Israel, which had now become Samaria. And that though they were back into Judah and even into Jerusalem, they were not a world power. They were under the boot heel of Rome. And all those things would have to happen for the prophecy to come true. So Zechariah saw his own prophecy of that prophecy made by prophets over the centuries before that someday would take place. He was saying, it must be now. If my son has been born to lead the way for God himself to come, then this must be the fulfillment time of those prophecies, and we are going to be restored as a great power throughout the world. But you see, though the coming of the Messiah would be exciting to anyone, especially knowing that it is imminent, Zechariah was talking about a different Savior than the one who would come. He's talking about a Savior, Savior spelled with a small s, because he perceives this Savior to be merely a man. Oh, a man sent by God himself, no question, and a mighty warrior, but a man. And so he knew that this man would be a great king of the line of David. He would restore power to Israel. He might even be the greatest king who ever lived. But being a man, surely he would die someday, and maybe his empire would cease to exist as well. Zechariah, in his humanity as a Jewish priest, couldn't keep himself from imagining that the Messiah who was coming was just a man. After all the prior kings, all the prior prophets, all the prior great men of Israel were all just that. They were just men. So the question we would ask is, well, if that's the case, then why did the coming king require a messenger? Why would he have needed John at all? After all, a great king who was coming with a great army and great power doesn't need a messenger. In fact, often they don't want it. They want to come in stealth and conquer their enemies. So if this was just a man who was coming, for whom was John preparing the way? We are told in verse 67, it says here that John's father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied. And so he was filled with the Holy Spirit. We see in Scripture that very few people are described in the Bible as having been filled with the Holy Spirit before Pentecost, which would not come yet for many years, or for several years, but only for specific works that God had for them to do would he fill a person with the Holy Spirit. So clearly, Zechariah had a specific work to do, as did his son John. And that Holy Spirit gave Zechariah abilities that he would not otherwise have. And here was his ability, understanding and knowledge. We see that in the second part of his prophecy about the coming king. The first part, all very human, all very Jewish, words that have been spoken before and relied upon. But now, with the Holy Spirit filling him, he continues to speak, and he gives a very different message, a special message. And he spoke to his son, John, and he said these words, "And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways." This is a stunning message to anyone who would hear it, because what Zechariah is claiming is that the king who is coming is going to be God himself. Oh, God in human form, no question, but it is the Lord. And the way the word Lord was used in those days, they meant Lord God Almighty. That God himself was coming. It was imminent. It would happen in John's lifetime. The Messiah they had heard about for centuries would not be a great man. He would be a great God who became a man. God was not going to send a man as king. He would send himself. And what kind of salvation would he provide? Amazingly, Zechariah says, the forgiveness of sins. Again, to anyone who would hear Zechariah say those words, stunning, incomprehensible words. After all, what good Jew would ever think they needed their sins forgiven? They had the sacrifices. They had been sacrificing for centuries, faithfully, in the tabernacle and then in the temple. Sacrifices, they believed, which paid the penalty for their sins, as opposed to pointing the way for the one true sacrifice that would really pay the penalty for their sins. And so Zechariah is given the knowledge by the Holy Spirit that the one who is coming is bringing a salvation that is not only earthly, not only temporary, not a Savior with a small s, but he's coming to bring forgiveness and eternal life to all who would receive his message. He would be our Savior, their Savior, with a capital S. God would come into the world through the Jews to bring salvation to God's people. You see, all that they had tried to do as faithful Jews, or in most cases, unfaithful Jews, but all that they had tried to do over all the centuries and in taking sacrifices and going to the temple and trying to follow the law, in their hearts they knew they were failing. In their hearts they knew they didn't obey the law perfectly. In their hearts they knew, how can the cutting of the throat of a lamb forgive me for my sins? And yet they did those things over and over and over again. And now Zechariah is declaring God is going to do what no sacrifice, what no law could do. That's why the coming Messiah needed a messenger. To prepare the way for a messenger unlike any messenger they had ever conceived of coming. The messenger would reveal the necessity for them to repent of their sins. To repent of their sins. Not just to offer a sacrifice and then go back out and sin again, but to repent and to grieve over how they had grieved the Holy Spirit all their lives in sinning. The messenger would have to say, God is sending forgiveness. He is sending a Savior. So we look what he says in verse 77. To give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins. John would reveal that the boy, the man, the Messiah would indeed be the Lord. An amazing task that John had been given by God. You see, he wasn't going to be just a front man. He didn't just go out there and preach the coming of the Messiah and get people interested and psyched up and ready to hear more about it. He came to reveal that the Messiah who was coming wasn't who they had expected at all. He was God. He would not win battles for them on the battlefield. He would win salvation for the people, true salvation, eternal life in the presence of God Almighty. The people needed to understand who this Messiah would be. They needed to know, though they were Jews and they were finding out from John that they were sinners and needed to repent, and he preached a gospel of repentance for their sins. No wonder, though, that it's recorded in the Gospel of Matthew that this messenger John was a very great person because he had a very, very great message. Jesus says, as recorded in the Gospel of Matthew, "Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist." No one. Imagine being a Jew and having Jesus say to them that Abraham, the patriarch of all the Jews, that Abraham was not greater than this John the Baptist who has come to proclaim Christ's arrival. Not Moses, not David, not Elijah, not Daniel, no one in the history of all of the Jews, the men who they revered as being very special men from God, because John came before the Lord. It says again, For what purpose? To give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins. Well, we all know, of course, the rest of the story, that John, who was born, as recorded in our text for today, did grow up to become John the Baptist. He did make a way for the Lord Jesus, going ahead of him. And Jesus, likewise, came as promised, as a baby, born and laid in a manger as the child of a man would and a woman would do if they were poor. But he truly would be the Savior with the capital S. And of course, we see in the Gospels that it didn't work out so very well for Jesus as far as the Jews were concerned. Very, very few of the Jews believed in Jesus. They didn't want a Savior with a capital S. They wanted better lives in their lives right now. For someone to promise that they could forgive sins and grant eternal life was a pretty good thing, but they wanted good stuff right now. And so most of them rejected the Messiah that God sent to deliver the greatest gift he had ever given to mankind. The day would come many years later when Jesus would look at his people and lament that they rejected him. Recall that Jesus, coming into the city of Jerusalem, said, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it, how often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you would not." And we know, looking at history, that the world has continued along that path in great measure ever since. Oh yes, God has called it to himself a people in the church of Christians, but so many, many people have rejected the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have a Savior. The Savior came. He was who God said he would be, who John declared he would be, and who Jesus himself said he was. He has come. He has promised and he has given salvation to every single person who has received him as Lord and Savior. It's an amazing thing, isn't it? In my worst moments, and I do have some of them, I wonder, but why me? Why me? This person who has nothing to offer, a holy and beautiful and wonderful God. Oh God, why would you choose me? I think each of us, in our own way, in our own times, feels that same way, because he has given us a greater gift than anyone can ever earn. And he's coming back in glory and power as King of Kings and Lord of Lords to finally deliver the promise he's already given to us. We can't see it so much yet, but he's coming back to say, "Yeah, I promise this, so here it is." And we will see it face to face. We have a Savior with a capital S. Yet even we who are his faithful followers, we fall into that trap sometimes too of thinking that we want Jesus. We want Jesus to be the one who gives us more. We have genuine desires, genuine needs, and we pray to God the Father, and we pray in Jesus' name that you would give us this or you would give us that, and God tells us to ask for what we want and what we need. But sometimes in asking for more in his name, we can forget that he already is the greatest gift we will ever receive in this lifetime or in all eternity. Because he's not only the Savior with a capital S, but he is Lord with a capital L, and G with a capital, and God with a capital G. For whom did John the Baptist prepare the way? A warrior giving us a better life? Did Jesus come to make us happier and to give us more stuff and to get us through our hard times the way we want him to? Or did he come as God, giving us more than we could even imagine asking for, eternal life? We will celebrate, each of us this week, the birth of Jesus as the Son of God, our Savior, our Lord. May the baby whose birth you celebrate this week, may he be the Savior with the capital S, your Savior, my Savior, born in Bethlehem to save you from your sins. Would you pray with me? Father, sometimes as we just enjoy the merriment of Christmas, and we know, Lord, that even that pleases you, that as long as we are reminded and remembering what Christmas really is about, that you are pleased with our celebration and our joy in the knowledge of what this day means in the history of mankind. And yet sometimes, Lord, it's just so easy to enjoy the celebrations so much, Lord, that we don't pause often enough just to say, oh God, thank you for giving me Jesus. Thank you for giving me to Jesus. May each of us in this place this morning celebrate this Christmas in such a way that we celebrate as Zechariah did at the birth of his son, and filled with the Holy Spirit, full of joy and the knowledge that we belong to Jesus, and he belongs to us, and he really is our Savior and our God. For we ask these things in his name. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's message from God's Word. Tune in again next week for another sermon from the pulpit of First EPC in Anna, Illinois. Be sure and visit us on the web at www.firstepc.org or on Facebook at facebook.com/firstepc. Thanks for listening. This has been a production of First Evangelical Presbyterian Church of Anna, Illinois. Until next time, may God bless.